Good evening. If you'd open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. As we're doing a topical survey of the book of Acts, we're looking at some verses that talk about how the early church lived by the power of God's Word and how that should be an encouragement to us. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So the reason that we study the Bible and we live by the Bible is not that we're just a bunch of nitpicking rule keepers, but it is because we believe in God, we love God, we want to please God, and we want to do what is right. And the only way that we know that is by what God tells us in the Bible. The Bible is a complete and perfect guide for faith and practice. But the Bible is also a message of God of unspeakable comfort. And in the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 that the church was comforted, or the church rested in the comfort of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It says that the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. I want to talk about tonight, you know, the early churches. They were living by the Word, resting in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And the comfort of the Holy Spirit we see in the book of Acts in chapter 8 when it talks about the Holy Spirit said to Philip, or in Acts chapter 15 where the Holy Spirit said or revealed that the Gentiles were not to be bound by the law and they were to do certain things in Acts chapter 15. The Holy Spirit speaking or guiding or leading or comforting was done by the agency of His Word or His revelation. So I believe the comfort of the Holy Spirit comes by listening to the words of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can face any difficulty even sometimes when we don't feel like going on. You may wonder about, you know, if I'm a Christian, it seemed like that'd make things easier. And in the book of Acts, by them leaving Judaism, things didn't become easier. In fact, things became harder because they were leaving their traditional Jewish religion. And also, as the gospel spread, they were saying, "There is no king but Jesus." And Paul preached that there is no God made with hands. And so, instead of life becoming easier, life became harder. But the point of life, as we see in the Bible, is not that life is easier, that we become stronger. That's the point of life. That's what God wants us to get out of this process of life. And to be able to face the difficulties and challenges of life and the trials and temptations of life is to find comfort in the Word of God. I want you to read with me now in Acts chapter 4. You have the early church and they were being threatened with persecution, being threatened with beatings and threatened with death. And when they were told to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19, "Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard.'" And what they did after they left the presence of the council, in verse 23, "And when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported to all the chief priests and the elders, all the elders had said to them." And I want you to notice, what did they say? How did they respond to this? Did they have a pity party? Did they have poor little Church of Christ talk that we're a small persecuted minority? Did they say we need to arm ourselves and fight fire with fire? No. Somebody said, "Let us pray." And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.'" How can you tell if a person is a real spiritually minded person? How can you tell if somebody spends a lot of time in the Word of God? That in their conversation and in their prayers, words of Scripture just seep out. They just naturally flow. One time a lady said to a preacher after I heard him quote extensively from the Bible, she said, "You know, I'd give my life to be able to quote the Bible like that." And he says, "Well, that's what I've done." Verse 20 said, "For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you are anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bound servants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed together, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." Now, I want you to notice that in this context, they trusted that what God said was true. They were not surprised by trouble. They were not surprised by persecution. So when we look at the headlines and we moan and groan about all the bad things that are going on in our society, let us not be surprised as if this is some recent development. If you've read the Bible from the very beginning, there has been sin and there has been problems and there's been conflict ever since you had Cain and Abel. In this little book, in this book called Letters of Children to God, one of the little kids said, "Dear God, maybe if Cain and Abel had their own rooms, that would have helped." You know, that's what works with my brother and I. There's always been problems. There's always been conflict between the righteous and the unrighteous. So we should not act surprised as if this is some kind of recent development. In the Bible, we read that there's good and evil, that two sides collide, right and wrong, and that eternity is at stake. This place is a place of soul making, where we are tested, where if we are going to choose to be on the right side or the wrong side. And so they rested in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit said this is the very thing the Bible said would happen. Don't be surprised by trouble. Instead of being and letting trouble and persecution disillusion them and driving them away from God, their troubles drove them closer to God. I should see trouble and conflict and trials of my faith as an opportunity to draw closer to God, as an opportunity to dig deeper into the Bible. Whatever problem or trial that I'm facing, that I'm being tested for my faith, or whatever persecution at work that I may have to face, I see that as an opportunity, as I need to dig into the Bible to help it to draw me closer to God. And as they drew closer to God, God did not say He was going to give them an easier life. He would give them strength to rise to the occasion. And they were able to carry on. They had bold confidence in spite of hateful persecution. There's a quotation from a man named James Hannington. He was a missionary in Africa in 1885, and the natives attacked him and imprisoned him. He wrote in his journal, "I am consumed with fever and at times delirious with pain. I am devoured by vermin, menaced at every moment by the prospect of death." On October 29th, he was killed for his faith. The day before his death, October 28th, he made this entry in his journal, "I am quite broken down and brought low. I am comforted by reading Psalm 27. So in persecution, when we feel maybe discouraged or down at low ebb, what do we need? We need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And we need to read that God will comfort us and help us in our troubles. And in the book of Acts, you know, the beat goes on. That is this conflict between good and evil. And I want you to turn now over to Acts chapter 22. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. In verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And what we're going to see here is that an angel of the Lord came and delivered Peter and allowed him to live. But God didn't allow James to live. Well, how do you explain that? Well, I don't know. God allows suffering. He allows the free will choices of evil men. And sometimes God may intervene because He may have a purpose. And for example, if you remember in John chapter 21, Jesus predicted what kind of death that Peter would die. And apparently this wasn't it. God had certain plans He wanted him to live, and Peter eventually, we see Peter prominent in the first half of Acts, and also 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13, he was in Rome or Babylon preaching the gospel. So I leave that up to God. That's God's planning and God's purpose. But I want you to notice, was Peter anxious? You know, if you think about it, you're going to be killed the next day. They just cut off the head of James, and you know, you may be next. You think you might have a little problems going to sleep at night? And in verse 6, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Okay, so Peter is asleep. He's sound asleep like a baby. They're going to maybe kill him the next day. And this angel appears in the cell and turns on this really bright light. But Peter doesn't wake up. He's sleeping really soundly. And so the angel has to hit him really hard to wake him up. My friend, what we see here is that he wasn't going to stay up all night worrying because he left that to the Lord. He's going to let the Lord work it out. Whether he's going to die or live, just leave that in the hands of the Lord. Because fretting about it isn't going to change anything. And so Peter gets up and he escapes from jail. So you have this heavenly jailbreak here, where an angel of the Lord gets Peter out of jail. He goes to a house where they're praying for him, and they have a hard time believing that he is released from jail. In verse 17, Peter describes how the Lord had led him out of prison and said, report these things to James and the brethren to encourage him that he is released. And so Peter is released. And what happened to the persecutor of the church, Herod? Herod, because of his arrogance, they cried out to him when he went to visit Tyre and Sidon. They cried out, the voice of a God and not a man. In verse 23, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and he died. He wanted to kill Peter. God says, I'm not ready for Peter to die. He's going to live. And this powerful, pompous man, because he was arrogant, what did God do? God killed him. Verse 24, but the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. We need to have the comfort and the faith. There is not enough power on earth or in hell or anywhere to defeat God in the accomplishment of His purpose. We should have confidence in God despite hateful persecution, and that ought to give us great comfort. Now I want you to turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 15. The comfort of the Word of God can give us assurance of God's acceptance despite human problems. In Acts chapter 15, they had some church conflict. They had some brethren that didn't see eye to eye. You had some Pharisaic brethren, some Jews who were Pharisees, that believed that these new Jewish converts ought to be required to keep the law of Moses and to be circumcised. And they caused a lot of problems. In Acts chapter 15, we read, verse 24, since some of our number to whom we gave no instruction have disturbed or upset you with their words, unsettling your souls, it seemed good to us, having become one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And he goes on to say in verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, that is a matter of divine revelation, for us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. And he basically tells them these four things are related to things to not do related to idolatry or their former lifestyle. And so what I want you to notice is in verse 30 through 32 how the Word of God was able to comfort them despite the problems they had in the church. So then when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch. And this is where these Gentile converts were. Having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. This is a comforting letter from the Holy Spirit. Judas and Silas, also being prophets themselves, encouraged and strengthened the brethren with a lengthy message. And they had spent time there and were sent away from the brethren in peace to those who had sent them out. Verse 35. But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others, also the word of the Lord. You know, someone said, you know, the church is a wonderful institution except for the people, you know. Or the church is a wonderful institution except for some of the people. And you ever thought about, I remember in a class that I took, the teacher kept saying, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be in a congregation where you just had, it was just the group of all the strongest Christians. You know, you didn't have any weak Christians in it. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, I guess if you had the strongest Christians in the brotherhood, you know, I might not make the cut. You know, they might not want me. Have you ever thought, oh, if I found the perfect church to be in, would they let me be a member? Because I would make it imperfect. Here you have a church that they had a disagreement, and what they did is they came together and they had open discussion about it in Acts chapter 15 and discussed the Bible, and they became one mind and they resolved it. But we have to understand that sometimes in the church, brethren are imperfect. They say and do things that fall short of the divine standard. And how do we respond to that? Do we get disillusioned about that? Do we get our feelings hurt? Do we get miffed about that? Do we withdraw? Do we become critical? Do we become bitter? Do we become harsh? Well, what they do is they turn their attention not to the behavior of certain brethren, but they focus on what God said. And by focusing on what God said and God's will for the life, they have comfort and encouragement of God's love and God's acceptance and God's promises. You know, if we put our faith in brethren, we will eventually be disappointed. If we want to be disillusioned, we'll be discouraged if we put our faith in ourselves. We'll be disillusioned if we put our faith in the brethren, but we'll be encouraged if we put our faith in the Lord. Brethren may fall short, but the Lord doesn't. And sometimes brethren don't always do what they profess they say they will do, but the Bible's always right. I mean, I can always count on what the Bible says. So this verse here tells us that we can rest and find comfort in the fact that if we always turn to the Word of God and we're always striving together, we can make progress together in the Lord's work. I believe studying the Word, when we see the shortcomings of people, human beings, that they fall short, we see ourselves in those people. Someone said, thank the Lord for Simon Peter. You know, Simon Peter had foot and mouth disease. When he opened his mouth, he'd stick his foot in his mouth. He'd say things that rashly and impetuously. And we are privy to the secret acts. It's like the Bible is the keyhole into the life of certain people in their private thoughts and their private acts. So we can see ourselves in them. And I realize that they fell short sometimes. They were imperfect. And that is designed to help me to see that we all have problems. We all have shortcomings. If we ever admit, you know, I've got some problems and I've got some weaknesses in my life. Well, thank you. Welcome to the human race. I am glad that you're like the rest of us. Now, the Bible certainly says that sin, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that does not say that sin is okay. But it does say that wherever we are in our spiritual life, if we, with the right heart and the right attitude toward the Word of God, can make progress in growing together. And I believe that this can help us to be patient in dealing with others as we put our faith in the Lord and His promises and not necessarily people. And finally, my last point, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're talking about resting in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We can have bold confidence in God despite hateful persecution. We can have blessed assurance of God's acceptance despite human problems. And also we can have fearless gratitude to serve God despite unfair difficulties. In Acts chapter 27, you have in the latter part of Acts, you have the Apostle Paul is going through the Roman judicial system. He is unfairly charged by the Jews that when he went up to Jerusalem in the temple, that he brought a Gentile into the temple, which was not true. It was a lie. And so the Jews got all mad and they had the Romans arrested Paul and took him into protective custody to keep the Jews from killing him. And then they made these accusations. And so Paul then goes through the Roman legal system for about 2 years or so in the latter part of the book of Acts. And then Paul in Acts chapter 27 is on a boat sailing to Jerusalem to stand before Nero to defend himself against these unjust charges. There is a storm at sea. There is a storm. Imagine being on a boat at night. At night, it's very dark. Have you ever been on the ocean at night? It's extremely dark. And it's really scary. And I can imagine if you're out there and it's very dark and it's very scary, it's very well, you know, I may die out here. Now, when the Apostle Paul, in this situation, I want you to notice, there's no whining and there's no bitterness about poor, pitiful me. Why is this happening to me? It's all unfair. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Paul is grateful to God and fearless in these circumstances that God can bring about a greater good. In Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 20, "Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us," that's a figure of speech called Lytodes, an understatement to emphasize how great it is. "From then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned." They are hopeless and they feel helpless. "And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, 'Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not to have set sail from Crete.'" Paul couldn't resist saying, "I told you so." And he's establishing his credibility. That is, "I know what I'm talking about." And verse 22, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" Verse 25, "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." Now, we need to ask ourselves, when I'm scared and I'm afraid and I'm all fretting about how the future is going to turn out, and my circumstances seem unbearable, and they're like the waves of the ocean that they're about to engulf me and overwhelm me, I need to ask myself, do I believe God, and do I believe the Bible, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told? God has never promised us smooth sailing. He simply promised us a safe landing. And through the trials and the storms of life, He says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Terry Anderson, some of you may remember, he was a journalist who was kidnapped by Islamic radicals in Lebanon. And he was in prison for 7 years. And during this time he was in prison, he was allowed to read the Bible. He was given a copy of the Bible to read. And in 7 years of captivity, he read through the Bible 50 times. And when he began his captivity, he was an agnostic. And he said at the end of the 7 years, reading through the Bible 50 times, that it comforted him that he realized that he was not alone. He came to believe that there is a God. And that God has a plan. And we read the Bible to know that we are not alone. That there is a God and that He has a plan. And Paul was not bitter. Paul was not feeling sorry for himself. But Paul believed in God and God's greater plan and greater purpose. And so as he is encouraging them in this life-threatening event, in verse 35 of Acts chapter 27, Paul, having said this, took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all, and he broke it and began to eat. And all of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. So you notice, in this circumstance, instead of Paul falling apart, Paul was an example of faith in God, that God can bring about a greater good. Something in the immediate we cannot see. We may be in a situation that I cannot see what good God can bring out of this. And the reason that we can't see is because our perspective is limited. You know, it's kind of like if you're in stuck on the interstate, or you can't see the long-term picture. You know, it's kind of like if you know, there was a wreck ahead. If I had just been at the wrong place at the wrong time, instead of sitting in traffic, I would have been dead. You know, when we're going down the journey of life, we can't always see what's around the corner, but God does. And God doesn't go asleep at the wheel. So what we need to do is anytime we need to realize that God dwells in eternity above the chances and changes of life, that God dwells above the circumstances of life. And in fact, God can bring out good from the worst circumstances of life. And Paul was an encouragement and an example for people not to give up hope, but to have faith in God. And he gave thanks to God for what he had instead of complaining about all the bad things that he didn't like. He focused on the good instead of focusing on the bad. And as we read the life of Paul in Philippians chapter 1, the apostle Paul said that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. That's Philippians chapter 1. Here's the apostle Paul spending this on these three missionary journeys. He's out and about. It seems like he's doing a lot of good. And all of a sudden he's arrested and he's cooped up in jail. And you would think, what good could that do? I'm cooped up in jail. And that seemed like that would be a hindrance to spreading of the gospel. But 2 years later, Paul said, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Because he said that Christ is spread through the Praetorian Guard. He's under house arrest in Rome. He is chained to a Roman soldier. That's what you call a captive audience. Yeah, hey, you're not going anywhere. Let me tell you something. You need to know. And then Paul said, and in Philippians chapter 4, those of Caesar's household send you greeting. The Praetorian Guard was the personal bodyguard of the Roman emperor. And I believe through their influence, you had those of Caesar's household. It might have been Caesar's family, or it might have been those of his servants. Either way, the gospel had penetrated to the highest echelon of society because Paul believed God and that it would turn out exactly as he had been promised. So I believe that when we read the book of Acts, we see that they were world beaters because of their faith in the Lord and their devotion and comfort they received from relying upon the Word of God. When we read the Bible, we can think the thoughts of God. And what Scripture says, God says. And that we can be strong if we are strong in the Word and continue steadfastly as the early church did in the apostles' teaching. We can fret over future. We can fret over our bills. We can lose our health. We can lose our jobs. But the Holy Spirit tells us that God can keep our souls from all harm. Through many tribulations, Paul says, we must enter the kingdom of God. But he was strengthening the souls of the disciples. I like the song, when all around my soul gives way, he still is all my hope and stay. Is Jesus Christ your hope and stay? Why don't you make him your Lord and Savior tonight by rendering obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 5, they cleanse the body by the washing of the water of the Word. In water baptism, we contact the blood of Christ. That is the occasion God has chosen to apply the cleansing blood of Jesus so that we come out of the watery grave of baptism, we're raised to walk in a newness of life. Why don't you come now while we stand and sing?